What is up, everybody? In today's episode, I am going to be talking about how sugar cookies in the shape of dinosaurs and an EMT pack shaped me as an entrepreneur. Let's get started. The question is this: how do entrepreneurs like us who have a functioning business, who are trying to build relationships with our customers, how do we connect on a deeper level with them? How do we get our passions and our movements as well as our products in front of more people? I spent 3 years working in film, TV, commercials, and news, learning from master storytellers. Now I help entrepreneurs find and tell their own stories. I'm Nick Fitzgerald, and this is the Funnel Stories Podcast. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the Funnel Stories Podcast. I'm so excited to share some more stories with you. Since this podcast is for entrepreneurs and businesses, I figured I should share some of my own background and talk about, you know, how I became an entrepreneur and, you know, all of those fun things and all the stories that are wrapped around it. And so this episode is going to be about how the seeds of entrepreneurship were planted in me at a very young age. Now, if you remember, the little hook leading into this episode is about how sugar cookies in the shape of dinosaurs and an EMT pack helped shape me as an entrepreneur. So I want to spend some time and go through those experiences and those stories just to give you a little bit more background of like why I think the way I do when it comes to business and those kinds of things. As a kid, I loved making money. Whatever I could do to earn some money, I would totally do it. Whether it was, you know, folding socks or shoveling driveways or, you know, whatever it might be. If there was a way to make money, I loved it. On birthdays, when I'd get a card from my grandma or my great grandpa with a dollar bill in it, I would love that and I would go hide it away. And I actually saved a lot of money when I was a kid. I was pretty rich for a kid, where I'd have, you know, over $100 of cash stashed away in my room so that I could go buy Legos or buy pizza for my family for dinner one time when I really wanted it. You know, I always wanted to be able to have money to do the things that I wanted. And as a kid, I'd had an amazing childhood. You know, my dad is a firefighter even still to this day. But growing up, having my dad as a fireman, that was so cool. And I loved, you know, how cool that made me feel to be able to go to the fire station. Sometimes he'd come to my classes at school and bring like all of his firefighting gear and talk about fire safety to my class. And I would be the coolest kid in school and in class on that day, right? And I totally loved it. And my mom, she was a stay-at-home mom for most of my younger life. And she nurtured us and was just an amazing woman. And then as we got older, she went to work and she was a manager for a video store chain. And then she became like a regional manager, and she was like a high up level person for a long time before she just kind of decided that the things in her business in that business she loved, but she loved us more and she wanted to be able to not neglect us. So I grew up very lucky and very fortunate having parents who loved me and gave me and my brothers and sisters the attention. The other thing that was cool, my dad being a firefighter would have, you know, a schedule where he would be on and working at the fire station for 24 hours. Then he'd be off for a whole day and that would kind of rotate. But then he'd get blocks of 4 days in a row off of work. So I had my dad home a lot during the days, in the summertime, you know, those kinds of things. It was also tough though, like on holidays, if he was scheduled to work on Christmas, we'd have to wake up super early to do presents before he had to go to the fire station, right? And so I had this wonderful environment. And you know, especially back in the 80s, firefighters didn't make a ton of money. And they still don't to this day. You know, when we were young, we didn't have lots of income coming in. So my dad would always have these little side businesses. I remember he had a landscaping company, a window washing company. He and my uncle Ray, they ran a Christmas tree lot in around the holidays to sell Christmas trees. And he always had some little side business to be able to bring in some more money. Being able to see that as a child, seeing that my dad had other ideas, that he wasn't just a fireman, but he was a dad, and that he had all these awesome ideas, like he's just an idea factory. And it just kind of inspired me to be creative with my own thoughts. Like as a kid, I had a very vivid imagination. I thought about lots of things in creative ways. And when it came down to learning about earning money, I figured that there were lots of creative ways to be able to make money. So, you know, we did the standard things. We'd have garage sales every once in a while where we could sell some of our old toys or things like that. And we would get to keep the money of the things that we sold that were ours, which was cool. But then, you know, there was I remember one summer day, there was a girl that lived down the street from us and she was selling Kool-Aid. And that was like, selling Kool-Aid was way cooler than just selling lemonade, right? And so it was just one of those things where I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. And she was, I can't remember what she was charging for it, but it made me want to sell lemonade or Kool-Aid. And so my brother and my sister and I talked to my mom and said, can we have a lemonade stand? And so we created one. And, you know, people came over and bought lemonade and it was fine. But it was kind of funny. At that young age, we wanted to make more money. We wanted to be able to have more income so that we could buy cooler toys or save money faster. And so I remember we talked with our mom about some of the things that we could do, and we decided that, sure, we would continue to sell lemonade, but then we would also make sugar cookies, and we would sell those. And so we had a cookie slash lemonade stand. Now, you know, this is summertime, and again, we didn't have tons of things growing up, but we had cookie cutters, right? And most of the shapes were Halloween or Christmas related, you know, holiday related. So in the middle of the summer, we're like, what shape cookies should we get? And we had two or three dinosaur shaped cookie cutters. And so that's the shape that we made our sugar cookies in. And we frosted them with green frosting and it was awesome. And we went out to sell. And it was fun because we'd sell the lemonade, you know, at normal rates and things like that. But the cookies were a little more expensive, but people wanted the cookies more. And it was just like, it was a funny thing. Looking back at what I understand and know about business now, we had our front end offer, the lemonade. That's what got people to come over. Then there were the upsells of cookies and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It was a lot of fun. But just sitting out in the front yard wasn't enough. You know, we were getting some people, the people that we knew or that lived around the corner, but they would come and they would buy one, maybe two cookies, or maybe come back once or twice to be able to, you know, buy some more stuff. So we're like, how do we get more people to come to our stand? And again, the nurturing of our parents and the examples, it kind of set us up to be able to think about things this way and to not be afraid to bring up the ideas, because they would support, they would encourage, and they would give us like the ideas and the resources to be able to execute. And so what we ended up doing is we made some signs. We had, you know, some poster board where we drew, and I remember the colors, they were like yellow and red and blue were the colors that we put for the writing and the pictures and those kinds of things on these signs, and we put them in different parts of the neighborhood. And then we made a sandwich board with two pieces of poster board with the same message, you know, lemonade and sugar cookies with the pictures on it and stuff. And then we would take turns hopping on our bike and riding around the neighborhood with that sandwich board on, so that people that were out and everything like that would see it and would know that we were selling cookies and lemonade. And when we did that, we got so much more engagement. So many more people, so many kids from the other side of the neighborhood started coming over, and it was a lot of fun. And of course, we made some really good money. You know, we had to pay for the cost of the lemonade and the cookies and things. Even though they were homemade, our parents and my mom helped us understand that, yeah, we were selling these things and we were able to keep the money that we made, but there was also a cost involved to create the thing. And so, you know, we did that a couple of different summers where it was nice. We set up shop. We did a couple times where we did it at our front yard. And then my grandma lived in the same neighborhood as us when I was growing up. So we did a couple times when we set up in her front lawn where we were right by a busy street and we got a lot more traffic. And so the lessons that I learned, and I wasn't like taking notes and studying all these things when I was a kid, but I learned that when you were close to traffic, when you had something to get people's attention, and when you offered more than just what everyone else normally offers, that people come and they buy. And it was just such a cool experience and a great lesson to learn at a young age, especially as I started to get older and started to think about creating my own businesses and having ideas and how do I get this to work and that to work. I had these principles instilled in me, and it's amazing. Even at a young age, when I didn't understand what that was all about, I was able to apply those principles And they were kind of subconsciously written on my heart when it came to things that I did with my business and my ideas going forward. So that's like how I started, you know, just on a very basic level with selling lemonade and sugar cookies in the shape of dinosaurs. That set me up to be able to understand a lot of basics when it comes to marketing and to product development. And it wasn't until I was much, much, much older that I started to realize those things and to think about them deliberately. And it was really cool. Another experience I want to talk about, my dad, again, I mentioned he's a firefighter. And as a firefighter, you are always solving problems, right? Whether it's actually putting out a fire or medical issues and things like that, you're always just out there and solving people's problems and saving the day for people. And through the course of his work and things, he saw some problems and issues that firefighters faced every day with some of the equipment and things like that. And so he and another firefighter started talking about some of these issues, specifically when they go on medical calls. If somebody needed an airway or they needed oxygen, they used to have these big, huge, bulky plastic cases that had medical supplies in them, and they would open like butterfly wings out and they would just take up a lot of space. But if somebody needed oxygen, they had to bring in bottles. And a lot of times they're working in confined spaces. They're in somebody's bedroom and where somebody has collapsed between the wall and their bed, and there just isn't a whole lot of space to lay out all of their stuff. You bring in gurneys and everything. And so he and his friend started talking about these issues, and they drew up a prototype of a pack that would hold the medical supplies, the airway things, and an air tank in a more compact and small and organized way so that they wouldn't take up as much space. It would stand upright, it wouldn't tip over, and it didn't fold out upon itself and take up tons of space. So they called this the Ram Pack, and they drew up a prototype. And I remember my dad coming up with a business idea was not new to me. It was something that I'd seen lots of times. And I remember we went to his friend's dad's house, which was in this nice house with a huge yard and trampoline, and it was just gorgeous. It was up on the mountainside and the foothills, and it was super nice. And us kids ran around, and I remember all the adults were sitting at a table, and they had notepads and napkins, and they were sketching out things and talking about it. It was pretty cool to witness as a kid the creative process and the how all of that worked. Now, they had a prototype made up, and they tested it and all these things, and then they went to a couple trade shows and offered and sold some. They ended up having 50 or so of these packs made and going around and selling them. And again, they didn't get rich off of it. They solved a problem. His partner then dropped out of firefighting because his dad offered his son to his dental practice if he went back and finished dental school. And so he dropped out, and the business fizzled after that. But again, I saw something go from an idea, a sketch on a napkin, to a prototype, to selling it at trade shows, seeing it in my house, and then seeing it at the fire station. It was so cool to see that happen. And again, the message that sent me helped me realize that you can take an idea, something, a visual, or something that's floating around in your head, and create something that is tangible and solves problems for people. So if you look at these two experiences that I had, and I've had many, many over the years, and I'll share some of these other ideas that I've had in the episodes to come and other stories. But for me, these were formulative to me as an entrepreneur, because I was able to see that you could take an idea and make it a reality. And in order to make it a reality, you had to do a lot of work and figuring things out and testing and trial and error. And then to sell the actual thing, you had to figure out where the people were, how to make it attractive, how to make it interesting, how to get people to come to you, or how you get out to the people and sell it. And so from a very, very simple standpoint as a kid, I was able to have those things planted in my heart and in my mind. And as I grew in maturity and in age, and then finally as I listened to the inner voice and started my own entrepreneurial journey, I had these things ingrained in me already. And so that helped me a lot as I went to creating my own offers, creating products, and finding the people to be able to sell them to and to be able to whose problems I could solve and stuff like that. And so that, my friends, is how I got started and how the entrepreneurial seeds were sowed within me. Now, think about you and what you're going through, the things that you're creating, the things that you're struggling with. If you can take that basic approach and think about things in that way, it's amazing the steps and the progress that you can make. Even though it might be slow, it is definitely progress, okay? So if there's anything that you can take away from this, one, if you have kids, support and nurture their entrepreneurial thoughts and ideas. Give them examples and the resources to be able to test things out, to fail, to succeed, and all those things on their own. That would be number one. But number two is just know that with every type of business, you don't have to make it so complicated. If you follow the simple principles of, you know, traffic and creating an attractive offer and something that stands out from the rest, and then finding ways to find the people or get them to come to you or how to go to them. Once you figure those parts out, other things fall into place very, very quickly. So that's going to do it for this episode. In the next episode, I'm going to talk about how my imagination was set completely free simply by watching one movie, and how that changed and shaped me as a storyteller and as a creative for the rest of my life. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Have an amazing day, and we'll catch you on the next one. Be sure to join our online community in the Funnel Storytellers Facebook group. Are you ready to start telling your story? Go to friendlygiantfilms.com today to find out how.